Stage Dramas present The Poison Crystal, a dramatization of a glamorous, thrilling, and completely baffling mystery serial of the same name that begins in next Sunday's American Weekly. It has always been the aim of the publishers to give American Weekly readers the newest and best fiction by the country's outstanding authors, and we are sure you will agree after hearing this dramatization of the opening installment of The Poison Crystal that this newest serial story is really top. So don't miss the opening chapters in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. And now meet Abel Weems, dramatic critic of the New York Globe.
Thank you, John Martin. Well, despite the fact that Don Rockwood, one of the world's best playwrights, had just scored another terrific hit, I knew there was going to be trouble the moment the final curtain fell on that sensational first night performance.
Oh, that curtain! No more falls! You awful people, you big hand, take that. That'll teach you to keep your filthy hands off me during a scene.
I'll do it again. Next time, I'll shake you until your teeth chatter if you ever try to ruin a scene of mine.
Your scene? Well, you never had a scene in your life. You couldn't act sick if they gave you poison. Without that profile, you'd still be behind the soda fountain.
I'd like to break your scrawny neck, you treacherous little cat. Don't you ever back up stage on me and ruin a scene.
You ever grab and hold me again, I'll fix that profile.
Break it up. Well,
Yes, that's the way it all started. I hurried out of the theater to find Don Rockwood, the author. I always knew where to find him opening nights, in his car, parked as usual, just to the right of the stage door. He'd never enter the theater on the opening night of his plays. He preferred to sit there and wait the verdict of the audience. Well, I slipped into the seat beside him.
Hi, have a cigarette. How was it?
Nice work, Rock.
Huh?
You've got him hanging on the ropes. Did you hear him cheering at the curtain?
Good Lord, was it as bad as all that they cheer the curtain?
Say, listen, you know darn well you've got a hit.
Huh?
Sometime I wish you'd oblige me and write a flop. I'm sick of gushing over your stuff, and besides, the publisher of my paper is apt to think I'm on your payroll. Heck, I haven't been able to take a healthy rap at any show you've ever done.
You really like this one, huh?
The play? Yes. The acting? Rotten. Tess Blandon and Arthur Preble tried to turn it into a three-round fight and almost succeeded. But the piece stood up even under that terrific beating.
At it again, are they? Yeah, it's getting worse each year. I don't dare cast anyone else, and those two fight like a pair of alley cats. Eventually, they'll manage to ruin one for me.
Why don't you split them up, Rock? Preble isn't the only ham on Broadway with a profile.
Mm.
And for that matter, Tess is getting a little hippie for those love scenes. She's on the shady side of 40, if my memory's any good.
Mm. Too good, Abel. Let Tess hear you say that, and she'll be reading you the riot act. She claims to be heading toward 30.
Heading toward it, eh?
Mm.
Mm. She must have learned her tricks in the cradle. She backed upstage on Preble tonight, jumped his lines, changed the tag of every second speech to throw him on his cues, and ended up with a wrestling match that's going to look great in the reviews.
For a while, I didn't mind their fights. Up to a certain point, their jealousy helps. Puts fire and life in the acting and keeps the play moving a good pace.
Yes,
beyond
true.
That point, it becomes ruinous. Getting awfully tired of trying to hold them together.
Oh, let the devil take both of them. You've got a hit, Rock. Be satisfied.
No, it's not worth it, Abel. Let them find someone else to write their lines. Six hits. That means a fortune, Abel. I've made plenty and saved a good bit of it. Now I'm through. This is the last Rockwood play, and I mean it.
Well, here comes Tess in a blaze of glory and rage. Better pour a little oil on the troubled waters, Rock. Tell us he's magnificent, you know. Too good to be working with Preble, but make it fast, because he'll be along in a moment. You'll have to soothe his fevered brow, the big ham.
Oh, no. Not this time, Abel.
Tonight settles it. I refuse to have a third-rate ham strike me in front of an audience and try to throw me into the orchestra.
I was hoping Preble would actually work up enough courage to slap you on the chin. In fact, I'm going to suggest it in my review.
Your review? Don't tell me anything about your review. I could write it for you. I know your formula perfectly. Let's see. The play is splendid as usual. A fine example of Rockwood's talent for writing. The acting was negligible as usual. A fine example of the player's talent for murder.
Oh, thank you for the compliment, Tess. I had no idea you were one of my readers. Oh, wait, I hope you don't mind if I let Martin Gow get in this car, do you? Of course, he's only the producer, but I think we might find room for him. You made such a hasty entrance, you left him standing on the sidewalk.
Come in, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, looks like you have to take one of the jump seats.
Oh, it's a hit, Rock. There'll be an advance sale of 20,000 before the end of the week.
Nice work, Martin. Glad things are going so nicely.
Nicely? Do you call it nicely when my supporting player tries to strangle me?
Oh, yes. Preble merely lost his head for a moment. Don't let it upset you.
Well, I like that. Do you expect me to continue to be in a play with a maniac who might decide any minute to shoot me?
You're going great, Tess. First he throws you into the orchestra pit, then he strangles you, and now he's going to shoot you. I'm beginning to think, Rock, you might have done better to write a murder mystery.
Yeah.
Give this bunch a chance to strut their stuff in, eh?
Well, what's the delay?
Oh, Freeburg must make an entrance. The great Freeburg must greet his adoring public. While we sit and die from hunger.
Well, bear up, Tess. Here he comes.
Oh. Well, we seem to have done it again, Rock. Yeah. In spite of our leading lady, although our leading thief would be a more appropriate title, we did please the folks out front.
Why, you insignificant pup, you...
Oh, shut up, you two. Curtain's down. The audience has gone home. Don't put on an act for my benefit. I think you're both rotten, and I'll say so in my review on Monday. Personally, I believe Rock stages his openings on Saturday night to give all of us critics a chance to cool off before we sit down to our typewriters. The rest of us wrote what they really thought of you two before we had a good night's sleep to soften our opinions. Well, it wouldn't make very pretty reading.
Yeah, that's a personal opinion, thank goodness. But listen, let's change the subject. I've arranged a nice little supper to celebrate our success.
Oh, who wants to think about food after 2 hours of continued insult?
Well, I do.
Then you're welcome to it. I lost my appetite in the theater.
That's swell. I found it and intend to use it. So how about it? Where do we go?
Well, I don't care. Any place that puts out a good cup of black coffee suits me.
As the producer of this show, I've arranged everything. This is my party, and it's going to be a good one. John, drive us to the 33 Club.
Yes, sir.
Look, I'm sorry, Martin, but I don't like that place. Let's go to the Warwick. The dinner will be on me.
Oh, Rock, why do you like to disappoint me? I want to go to the 33, and you know it. I asked you to take me dozens of times. Surely after what I've been through tonight, I'm entitled to that much consideration.
Well, don't let's argue. With 1,000 restaurants in New York, don't you think I might be allowed to dislike just one?
That's why she wants to go there. You should have insisted on going to the 33, Rock. Then we'd have all enjoyed a good meal at the Warwick.
You're very clever, Abel Weems, but it so happens I really want to go to the 33 Club.
Oh, well, that's why Gow decided to throw the party there. You whispered in Gow's ear, and dear old Martin said yes. You know, Gow, you'll never get Tess to listen to that marriage proposal of yours until you treat her offstage exactly as you treat her on.
What business is it of yours?
None. Gow, I've heard you fight, raise the devil, and come down with a flat-footed no when it came to the subject of changing one little line to suit her. But no sooner do you step out of the theater than you allow her to dominate your every thought. Don't be an ass, my friend. Fight her. She loves it.
I wish you'd written your review, Abel. I'd like to insult you, but I don't dare just yet.
Why not? Nothing can do any more damage to the play than Tess has already accomplished.
Oh, let's forget that. Anyone decided where we're going?
The 33 Club. The 33 Club or nothing.
Okay, okay. Right. Now, John, the 33, definitely.
And without scruples.
Now, Tess.
Now, don't test me. While you're at it, find a new actor who can support me properly.
Why, Tess, what on earth are you talking about?
Just this. I refuse to work with Preble any longer.
Are you trying to force me out of the show, Tess?
Certainly.
Oh, now, look, forget it, forget it. Preble stays, and that's all I want to hear about it. Do you understand?
What do you have to say, Martin? Does Preble stay, or do I?
Now, Tess, please, don't make an issue of this.
You haven't answered my question. Does Preble stay, or do I?
Well, I suppose if you insist, well, we'll have to find another man.
Ah, how nice. $50,000, 6 months' work, and the jobs of an entire cast mean nothing to Tess. Evidently, they mean nothing to you, Martin. But fortunately, they do mean quite a bit to me. All right, Tess, you seem to have won the first round of this fight, but don't feel too happy about it. The second round is just coming up.
And I'll win that, too. Let's not worry about it tonight. Here's the 33 Club.
Bring on that supper, Louie. Tell your bartender to mix me an old-fashioned. Make it strong.
No. Please don't spoil your dinner with that. I've ordered some wine. Louis found a very old sherry in the cellar. He saved it for this special occasion.
Sherry, my foot. I want a drink strong enough to take the bad taste out of my mouth.
Oh, please, Abel. Do enjoy this fine old sherry with us. We'll drink a toast.
Okay, sherry it is, then. But say, Rock, what's commanding so much of your attention?
Huh? Oh, me? Nothing. I was just admiring the crystal. Those wine glasses there on the sideboard. Beautiful things, aren't they?
They're perfect. Much too good for a restaurant.
Not too good for us, though. Oh, Louis.
Monsieur.
Those glasses over there. We'll have the sherry in there.
Yeah, certainly, monsieur. Oh, Tony, bring those glasses over. I'm sorry, Mr. Gow. The wine is slightly below room temperature. If you care to wait, I will draw the cork and allow the wine to breathe for a moment.
Pour it out, Louis. Don't try to kid Martin Gow with that connoisseur stuff. He has difficulty telling rye from scotch.
Oui, monsieur. Oh, Tony, the glasses. Wipe the glasses.
What are you doing, Preble?
Wiping your glass, my dear. Always your sir.
Oh, you do it very well. As a waiter, you're perfect. Oh, Martin, speak to Louis about that. This would be just the spot for Preble, a waiter at the 33 Club.
Are you going to stop this confounded wrangling, Tess, or would you rather dine without me?
Catch those guys, quick. Rock. Almost upset the table.
It's probably all my fault. Please sit down, Rock. I'll leave if you'll excuse me. You'll do nothing of the kind. I'm sick of all this nonsense. All of it. Now, it's got to stop. You understand?
Oh, please. Now, please sit down, Rock. Please. Tess is sorry. Now, don't let's ruin a perfectly good meal because of a silly quarrel. Pour the wine, Louis.
We miss you.
And now a toast. I'll give it, everybody, to a successful run of the play.
I'll join you. To your success, darling.
Who's that, Rock? One of your admirers?
Yeah, why didn't you ask her to join us?
Let two of your admirers drink from the same glass, Rock.
No, Tess, please. Oh, well, go ahead.
Fine old sherry. Now, do you mind if I have an old-fashioned to wash it down?
No, Abel, you're a barbarian. Personally, I think you would...
Look out, quick, it's Tess. Catch her. Something's happened to her.
Well, what's the trouble with her? What's the trouble with her?
Tess, what's happened? Tess. Oh, good gal. She's dead.
What happened, monsieur? Mademoiselle Blanton.
She's dead. Quick, Louis, clear the room.
Mon Dieu. There has been an unfortunate occurrence. Very unfortunate. Would the guest be so kind as to leave immediately? Hurry, please.
Louis, get Tom Halliday on the phone at once. He's the district attorney. He also happens to be a friend of mine.
Monsieur, the police...
Later, stupid. Get Halliday first. Don't let the waiters touch anything, understand?
Perfectly.
This is tough, Rock. It's murder.
Murder? What on earth makes you say that? How do you know she's dead? Why not get a doctor?
Yes, a doctor. Heavens, we're acting like a lot of lunatics. You would think of murder, a darn newspaper man.
Yes, I would. Look at this.
Oh, what's an empty glass got to do with it?
I don't know. Nothing, perhaps. But I never saw a gray sediment like this in sherry. To me, it looks like poison. And that means murder.
Is it murder? And if so, who dealt out the poison? What was the motive? Who was the sinister murderer? Be sure to listen to the second sensational chapter of this weird case over this same station at the same time next week. In the meantime, be sure to read in full detail the opening installment of this intriguing story of romance, jealousy, and hate, laid in the colorful, glamorous setting of the Broadway stage. Don't miss The Poison Crystal. It begins in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Page Dramas present the second episode of The Poison Crystal, a dramatization of the second installment of the thrilling, glamorous mystery serial which appears in next Sunday's American Weekly. From every section of the country, we are receiving enthusiastic praise from thousands of American Weekly readers who are following the very dramatic developments in The Poison Crystal. Everyone agrees it's the tops in mystery fiction, and it isn't too late for you to begin to follow this really thrilling story, for you will find a complete synopsis of the opening chapters, which leads you right into the second installment in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. And now here's Abel Weems, dramatic critic for the New York Globe, who is telling us the story of The Poison Crystal.
Thank you, John Martin. Well, I've covered the opening of my friend Don Rockwood's new play. It was a hit, despite the fact that the leading woman, Tess Blandon, and her leading man, Arthur Preble, nearly ruined it with their spiteful, jealous bickering and fighting that was almost visible to the audience. After the show, Rock, Martin Gower's producer, together with the two leads and myself, went to supper at the 33 Club. Gower arranged the party and ordered a special bottle of sherry to drink a toast to the success of the play. Well, we were just about to drink when a strange woman stepped up, took Rock's glass, and joined us in the toast. She sipped the wine and left immediately. Then Tess, the leading woman, picked up the same glass and said, "Two of your admirers will drink from your glass." Well, she barely sipped the wine, then collapsed in less time than it takes to tell it. She was dead. Suspecting murder, I sent for the district attorney. We all waited for his arrival. Martin Gow, the producer, paced the floor, muttering,
"The play. The play.